This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Warden's News is a collection of current game warden-related news stories gathered from news sources worldwide. These stories are compiled and read by Warden's Watch producer Jay Scott. Warden News, all new, on the Warden's Watch podcast. Brought to you in part by SX Sight, the fastest sight in any light, and Securit Gun Storage.
Our first story brings us to Michigan and back in time to 1897. Trailblazing conservation. Hulda Neal, America's first female game warden. In the late 19th century, Traverse City, Michigan witnessed a pioneering moment with the appointment of Hulda Vallow Neal as the first female deputy game warden in 1897. At a time when women's roles were largely confined to the domestic sphere, Neal broke gender barriers in a field dominated by men. Her appointment came at a time when Michigan was beginning to enforce hunting and fishing regulations more stringently, driven by the early conservation efforts of organizations like the Michigan Sportsmen's Association. Neal's commitment to enforcing these laws against rampant violations was both a personal crusade and a significant step toward the conservation of local wildlife. Hulda Neal's role as deputy game warden challenged societal norms and garnered national attention, not just for her gender, but also for her effectiveness in a role requiring physical prowess, skill with firearms, and a deep knowledge of the local environment. Adopting practical attire for her duties, she symbolized a break from traditional women's roles and attire, embodying the spirit of the new woman of her era. Her actions, from relentless pursuit of violators to her hands-on approach to conservation, underscored a significant departure from the expected norms of women's participation in public life. Throughout her tenure, Neal was not only effective in enforcing game laws, but also in challenging the perpetrators who underestimated her due to her gender. Her success in prosecuting violators and her innovative approach to conservation work, such as stocking local lakes with fish, left an indelible mark on the community and the state's conservation efforts. Despite occasional setbacks, Neal's resolve and dedication to her role showcased her as a formidable figure in law enforcement and conservation, paving the way for future generations of women in similar roles. Neal's legacy extends beyond her tenure as a game warden, continuing to inspire those in conservation and those advocating for gender equality. As one of the early examples of women's expanding roles in public and professional life, Neal demonstrated the potential for women to excel and lead in traditionally male-dominated fields. Her story is a testament to the power of breaking societal norms and the lasting impact of individuals who dare to challenge the status quo for the betterment of their communities and the environment. Next, we turn to Idaho. After 90 years, the cold case of Idaho game warden Ellsworth Arthur Teed's disappearance in 1934 has finally been closed, following recent corroborating statements indicating he was killed by poachers. Teed, the first full-time fish and game officer in Idaho, vanished while investigating illegal hunting near Mullen, prompting one of the largest manhunts in Shoshone County's history. Despite the extensive search efforts, Teed's body was never found, leaving the mystery of his disappearance unresolved until now. Recent breakthroughs came when four individuals came forward with information about Teed's alleged murder by George Petland, who, along with his son and another teenager, encountered and killed Teed in the forest. The Shoshone County Sheriff's Office, after verifying the accounts which matched and could not have been heard from one another, decided to close the case, providing long-awaited closure to Teed's remaining family. The resolution of this case has brought a sense of closure to the Teed family, who had been haunted by the unknown fate of their relative for decades. Despite the inability to recover Teed's remains due to natural disturbances in the area over the years, the acknowledgement of his death and the circumstances surrounding it honor his memory and service. This closure is a testament to the persistence of both the family and law enforcement in seeking justice, regardless of the passage of time. Next, we travel to Pennsylvania. Drones in the crosshairs, Pennsylvania case sparks, debate over technology and wildlife recovery. In a landmark case in Pennsylvania, Joshua Wingenroth was convicted of wildlife violations for using his drone to assist in the recovery of a deer, marking the first time someone in the state has faced legal repercussions for such an act. The charges arose from a December sting operation conducted by the Pennsylvania Game Commission, where Wingenroth, owner of Wingy Drone Services, was solicited under the guise of aiding a hunter with a wounded deer. This conviction comes amidst discussions in the Pennsylvania legislature about legalizing the use of drones for deer recovery, highlighting a growing tension between traditional wildlife management practices and modern technological advancements. The incident that led to Wingenroth's conviction involved a sophisticated sting operation by the Game Commission at the Welsh Mountain Nature Preserve. After being contacted by an officer posing as a hunter needing help to recover a deer, Wingenroth deployed his drone, inadvertently spotlighting a live whitetail, which led to his immediate citation for illegal electronic device use, disturbing wildlife, and recreational spotlighting violations. Wingenroth's attorney has criticized the Game Commission's actions, arguing that the operation revealed a significant disconnect between the Commission's policies on game recovery and the common understanding among hunters regarding their obligations to recover downed game. The case has sparked a debate over the appropriate use of drones in hunting and game recovery, with the Pennsylvania Game Commission maintaining that recovery efforts are part of the hunting process, thus subject to existing regulations. This stance has been challenged by Wingenroth and his legal team, who argue for a distinction between hunting and recovery, noting that the Game and Wildlife Code's current language does not explicitly address the use of technology in the latter. The controversy has prompted calls for legislative clarification, including a proposal by State Senator Jarrett Coleman to amend the Game and Wildlife Code to legalize the use of drones and other electronic devices for the purpose of deer recovery. As the case proceeds through the appeal process, it underscores the broader challenges facing wildlife management authorities in balancing technological innovation with ethical hunting practices. The outcome of Wingenroth's appeal and the potential legislative changes in Pennsylvania could have far-reaching implications for how drones and other modern tools are integrated into hunting and game recovery efforts nationwide, signaling a pivotal moment in the evolution of wildlife conservation practices. Next, we travel to Oregon. Community vigilance leads to sturgeon poaching convictions. In Scappoose Bay, Oregon, a noteworthy poaching incident involving three men and the illegal capture of five oversized sturgeon, including an 80-year-old giant white sturgeon, came to light, reflecting a significant breach of wildlife conservation laws.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents. Anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
This case was brought to attention through the diligent observations of local sportsmen, who noticed the illegal activity and promptly reported it to the Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Troopers. Their report led to an investigation that unveiled the poachers' efforts to conceal their illegal catches, demonstrating the vital role that community members play in safeguarding natural resources. The subsequent legal actions against the perpetrators underscore the seriousness with which poaching violations are treated, and the efforts to protect sturgeon populations in the region. The legal outcomes for the individuals involved in the poaching incident were significant, with the primary offender, Julio Duran, facing 20 days of jail time, substantial fines, and a suspension of fishing privileges. This response by the legal system highlights the comprehensive measures taken to deter such crimes and ensure the protection of vulnerable species. Duran's co-conspirators, Jose Plasencia and Axel Guell, also faced penalties that included fines and community service, reinforcing the message that wildlife laws are to be strictly adhered to. These sentences not only serve as punishment but also as a deterrent to potential future offenders, emphasizing the importance of compliance with fishing regulations. The Scappoose Bay sturgeon poaching case brings to light the critical importance of sturgeon conservation, both for ecological balance and for the recreational fishing industry in the Pacific Northwest. Sturgeon, often described as living fossils due to their ancient lineage, play a crucial role in the ecosystem and are highly valued for their ecological contributions and as a draw for anglers. Now we head to Montana. Montana ranchers' hybrid sheep creation leads to legal trouble. Arthur Jack Shoebarth, an 80-year-old Montana rancher, pleaded guilty to serious wildlife trafficking charges related to his nearly decade-long endeavor to create giant hybrid sheep intended for captive hunting. Shoebarth's operation involved the illegal importation of genetic material from Marco Polo Argali sheep from Kyrgyzstan, a species noted for its massive size and distinctive horns, which are highly valued in trophy hunting. Shoebarth's ranch, Sun River Enterprises LLC, focused on breeding these hybrid animals, aiming to sell them at premium prices to hunting preserves primarily in Texas. The process of creating these hybrids involved cloning embryos from the Argali sheep genetic material and implanting them into domestic ewes to produce a genetically pure male Marco Polo Argali, which Shoebarth named Montana Mountain King. This individual's semen was then used to inseminate other ewes to produce hybrid animals. The operation was sophisticated, involving at least five other individuals, and extended from 2013 to 2021. To facilitate the transport and sale of these hybrid sheep across state lines, Shoebarth and his co-conspirators resorted to forging veterinary inspection certificates, misleadingly presenting the hybrids as legally permitted species. This case underscores a significant violation of both international conservation agreements and the Lacey Act, a key piece of U.S. legislation aimed at combating wildlife trafficking. The Act protects animals by prohibiting interstate trade in wildlife that has been illegally taken, possessed, transported, or sold. Shoebarth's actions not only breached legal statutes, but also posed a threat to the genetic integrity and health of native wildlife populations. His sentencing is scheduled for July 11th, highlighting the gravity with which the legal system views such breaches of wildlife protection laws. Next, we travel to Nova Scotia. Crackdown on illegal elver fishing leads to multiple arrests. In a significant operation to protect fish stocks and uphold sustainable fishing practices, Fisheries and Oceans Canada, DFO, has taken a strong stance against unauthorized elver fishing in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. With the elver fishery closed for 2024, DFO has underscored that any harvesting activity is unauthorized and violators will face enforcement actions under the Fisheries Act and the Maritime Province's fishery regulations. The crackdown on illegal elver fishing has already led to the arrest of 26 individuals since March 6, 2024, in various incidents across southwest Nova Scotia, highlighting the government's commitment to deterring and disrupting the unauthorized harvest, sale, and export of this valuable species. In their efforts, fishery officers have not only made arrests, but also seized a substantial amount of fishing equipment, including vehicles, fike nets, dip nets, and even a firearm, alongside approximately 6.54 kilograms of elver, which were fortunately released back into their natural habitats. This enforcement initiative is part of a broader strategy by DFO to ensure the sustainability of the elver fishery, which includes ongoing management changes and regulatory efforts aimed at curbing noncompliance and illegal activities. The decision not to issue licenses for the 2024 season is a temporary measure while DFO works to implement these necessary changes. Key to these efforts is regulating possession and export, managing the fishery more effectively, and ensuring fair access for indigenous harvesters. The actions taken by DFO and the outcomes of the ongoing investigations into unauthorized elver fishing underscore the serious implications of noncompliance and the importance of cooperation from the public in reporting suspected illegal activities. With over 80 charges laid in 2023 and more investigations underway, DFO's commitment to protecting Canada's aquatic resources and supporting sustainable fisheries management remains clear. Our final story brings us to the Poconos. Game warden rescues black bear trapped inside car in the Poconos. In a rather unusual and tense incident in the Poconos, a family from Dingman's Ferry experienced a startling surprise upon returning home one Sunday evening. Katie Homer and her family were greeted not just by strewn trash near their shed, a sight initially attributed to misplaced garbage, but by a far more unexpected visitor, a black bear trapped inside their car. The discovery was made by Homer's husband when he approached the vehicle to retrieve something and was met by the bear pounding on the window, prompting a quick retreat and a call for help. Responding to the unique situation, Monroe County Game Warden Nicholas Visser was summoned to orchestrate the bear's release. The task proved challenging as the bear, weighing between 300 to 400 pounds and already distressed, aggressively charged at the door each time Visser attempted to approach with the key. Employing a strategy to distract the bear with the noise of a baseball bat tapping on the back windshield, Visser managed to swiftly unlock the door and retreat, allowing the bear to exit and run off into its natural habitat. Remarkably, the bear had been equipped with an ear tag, indicating prior encounters with human habitats. This event underscores the broader challenge of human-animal interactions in areas like the Poconos, where wildlife, especially bears coming out of hibernation, are in constant search for food. Game Warden Visser, emphasizing the commonality of bears in the region and the importance of secure trash and food storage to prevent such encounters, highlighted the seasonal pattern of bear movements. As bears emerge from hibernation, their quest for sustenance can lead them to residential areas, posing risks to both themselves and humans. The incident serves as a cautionary tale, prompting local residents to adopt preventive measures to safeguard against future wildlife intrusions. Thankfully, no injuries were reported from this incident, and the family was left with a memorable story of the unexpected guest in their car.
And that's a wrap for Warden News.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV